Hello and welcome to episode 3. This episode is the start of a single word choice of which the whole episode will be about. So, for example, this episode is about education. It may not be the final episode about education, but I'll just pick a word and we're going to deal with that word. So now, talking about education, in a previous episode I've mentioned a little bit about my own experiences with education and what works, what doesn't work for me in terms of education. But in this one, I just want to be a bit more general. I want to make a differentiation between education and learning and say that there is a need for education because often it's difficult for parents, for example, to be a good teacher and a good encouragement for their children because maybe they don't have the skills for that. So, I mean, there's also social skills and other things that are brought from education. It's important to have that framework for people that make sure that everybody is at the same level, at least, minimum. You've got to be able to read and write. You should be able to count, you know, things like that. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to move on in life. And that I do agree with. I do think that's an important thing. Of course, I don't necessarily agree with the whole methodology of how it's done. I was lucky that I had experience of how bad it can be. I didn't really have great teachers, and I don't have good memories of school because they basically represented the lazy-ass, crappy approach towards learning and teaching, where if you, for example, came out with something better, then you would get less marks. What you have to do is copy exactly what they told you, and if you didn't do that, then you'd do bad. Now, I don't want to go too far into my own experiences, but just to say that, yeah, these kind of things are not teaching. These are not, you know, a good teacher is willing to learn. It's very simple, right? I enjoy being around kids, because especially kids from other countries, because I don't speak their language as well as they do, and so they can teach me something. And what that means is that I can teach them something, because we're sharing knowledge. Now, there's something really critically important with that. It puts us on an equal level, and these kids can say, hey, he's not trying to force some knowledge down my neck like my teachers do or like my parents do, which is, you know, it's useful for people to have that experience. But what I can sort of see that is the most valuable for, and I'm not talking about me and kids generally, but just any parents and any kids, what I see is that the things that excite me when I see them and you know, parents, the way they are with their children, is when the kids are excited and the parents follow them. When the kids are teaching their parents something and showing them, and the parents can say, oh, wow, I didn't know that. And what that does is it shows the kids that, you know, they can learn for themselves. They don't need somebody else to teach them something. And it's possible to know stuff that adults don't know. I think one of the key experiences I had when I was young was adults saying, oh, but a four-year-old can't program a computer. And I'd be like, well, yes, I can. I do. So what that taught me was that, you know, adults or teachers, they're not always right, and they don't necessarily know stuff. I mean, I've got a huge list of examples I could give you about how you know, I got inspired by realizing that I knew things that my teachers didn't know or my parents didn't know. And I think that's an empowering feeling, you know, that you know, there's no reason to limit yourself based on others. So, you know, for me, the kind of things that excite me, and this is 2014, so probably there's stuff that has happened in education, of course, since I was in school all those years ago, 1981 onwards. So those kind of things probably have improved. And these days with, you know, Google and YouTube and you know, you hear stories of the kids coming back and saying, oh, we looked up Japanese way of counting and we looked it up on YouTube and the teacher learned something together with us. And, you know, for me, it's like, oh, I wish I had have had that at school, you know. So obviously things are moving forward. I think probably if you're interested in education specifically, you can see whether or not I'm right about this stuff. But for me, I just want to paint a little picture of what I think, just because it seems to be appropriate when I speak to people in education. So firstly, the testing system is rubbish, right? You can't take someone, measure what they say or do or how well they remembered what you said, and then say, oh, well, that's a test of someone's ability. That's absolute rubbish. You know, I was highly capable at mathematics, and you know, I got the highest mark in school, but I also forgot my calculator, and I did it in my head. So I got super high marks actually in that sense, but I hated maths, I hated school, so screw them. But I didn't get reward for that, you know. They didn't know how to motivate me, I guess, and I didn't allow them to motivate me because I didn't like the relationship in school. And I think the reason is, to put it back to that, the reason is because of the testing process. And it's like saying, well, look, I just because I did well at something in one test, I mean, it doesn't mean that I'm good or not. It doesn't mean that I should be put in a particular set or not. Often I would be the one explaining stuff to my classmates, like saying, oh, and then they'd say, oh, now I get what they're trying to say. And the teacher just spent 20 minutes, you just said a couple of words, and it helped me to understand what they actually meant. And why is that? I think it's because to teach, you need to, A, truly understand the subject you're teaching, which many teachers don't. They're just looking from a curriculum and teaching. You know, they're not doing a great job individually, always. Some of them are, most of them aren't. But that's like the same in every job, to be honest. Most people don't care about their job. They're not passionate about it. I was lucky that I had a couple of teachers who were passionate. And what I noticed later was that, you know, the reason that most teachers are crap is because they don't, yeah, they got into that job because they couldn't get anything else, basically. Now, often an art teacher is an artist who didn't make it in art and then went to teaching. Or a scientist, or a mathematician who, you know, they educated themselves in that, they got their degree, they went and tried to find work, they couldn't get it, so they went into teaching. So basically they're frustrated and annoyed. And by the way, there's a difference, this should be obvious to some of you, but like there is a difference in knowing a subject and teaching it. It's a totally different thing. You need to understand your subject, obviously, but then the second thing you need, just to pull it back to that, is a knowledge of how people learn and how people feel. Because really, teaching is a form of coaching, and it's really about giving people the confidence to take the steps that they could take themselves if they were already confident. Helping people to understand that the best way to do something is to figure it out for yourself, and here's some stuff that other people have already figured out that you don't need to figure out for yourself. So, you know, the earth is round. Well, spherical. It's actually not perfectly spherical. It's slightly bulged. But why is that? Well, probably because the moon, and you know, these kind of things aren't generally taught at school. You tend to have a sort of, you know, this is an atom. This is the electronic layer. The electrical layer that we call electrons. There's two electrons. Then there's eight, and then there's another eight, and or whatever. And I'm like, hang on a minute. Shouldn't there be 2, 4? 8, 16, 32, just, you know. Also, by the way, they're not really electrons. They're clouds of energy that we call electrons. Hang on a minute, that doesn't work. And, oh, by the way, they're not actually these little balls called protons, neutrons, and so on. They're actually kind of waves of, you know, clouds of energy that... So... I had a lot of problems with physics because I understood stuff. I'd say, like, hey, does the Doppler effect affect light as well as sound? And my physics teacher at the age of 15, I can't blame her. She was a pre-college or pre-high school. Well, it was high. I was 15, let's just say that. And in England, you don't have a thing where, you know, if you do better, you move up, which I wish they had have had, because I would have finished school at the age of 10 or something. They didn't have that. So I was at 15 asking my teacher, and she didn't know. But then later on, I discovered that, you know, that's how Hubble proved that the universe was expanding, for example, or at least proved in quotes. I mean, they currently think that the universe is expanding, and they think that for various reasons. And maybe they'll find to be wrong because of bigger pictures. But we'll spend an episode on that as well, on that kind of large scale astrophysics and things like that, because I'm also into that. So, you know, the point of education for me was, it actually did a good job in a sense for me, because it pissed me off so much that it actually forced me to go out and study everything I could. So I was reading Einstein and Marx and you know, Tesla and all these kind of things around the age of 15. Basically, because I'm like, you know, if I'm supposed to be finished with school now, you know, I want to learn stuff, and I don't know, I didn't learn that much from school, because getting a test to say that I'm on level 5 or level 6, and then going into another machine that checks whether, you know, I'm good to become an android in a particular organization doing a particular android style job, you know, I think I intuitively knew that that stuff is going to be worthless within some years. So, you know, that there's sort of this feeling that any job a computer could do better, there's no point in me doing. And in the end, you know, what is it that computers can do? Well, these days it's becoming more and more obvious, but, you know, within the next 10 years, you're going to see that computers are going to do all the jobs we do practically better, apart from the creative jobs and the artistic jobs and the human-related jobs like care and things like that. I mean, you wouldn't want a robot to put your granny to bed, but to be honest, that's what's going to happen within 10 or 15 years. And, you know, we'll see how that progresses. Just to keep it on education, I mean, I struggle to stay on one subject for more than 10 minutes. But, yeah, what else can we say about it? The testing system and the future of game of education is gaming. And what that means is, gaming is a environment that you step into that you can set up a series of conditions with a series of potential outcomes. And through that, you see the cause and effect of your decision-making, and you have to solve problems and things like that. From that context, and I'm not saying all games are that, but they kind of pretty much are, but, you know, you can style different games for different approaches. And this approach towards learning is the ideal. And I know that from personal experience. Luckily, you know, you have better examples today, like Minecraft, which is a bit more obviously educational than, you also have a very strong move towards computers and gaming as a form of education. Like, people start to get that, they start to understand it. Bill Gates has even talked about it, which, you know, doesn't mean much to me, but it helps the stupid mass to move forward, you know, because some famous guy said it, which is always, you know, good news, I suppose. And I can't expect everyone to have that realization for themselves. So they need someone to look up to tell them what to think. So that's fine. There is a general understanding that gaming, as a principle, is something that can be educational, and that, you know, in our society and in our education system, there may be some benefits to, you know, having reward mechanisms, having gaming systems, having social systems implemented. I think it's very early days at this stage, but it's very interesting for me to see, how would you build a social network for education, you could call it, something that the kids can all use. They can log in, they can do their work, and they can, you know, do their homework and so on. It's got to be secure. It's got to be, you know, from the kids to the kids kind of thing. And that they can have their own page which shows their hobbies and all this kind of stuff. There is a transition necessary because the kids are ready for it today, but the actual sort of general problem is that the adults aren't ready for it. The teachers aren't ready for it. They don't really understand computers as well as the kids. And the kids, you know, they can teach each other. They know that they can teach each other, and they already have been doing that so for many years already. But yeah, so the key issue is, like, how do you get it to work and maintain relationship with the existing curriculum to make sure that we don't lose the frameworks that have been built up over time, although a lot of it needs to be lost, a lot of it shouldn't be lost. There also needs to be responsibility from the parents, from the teachers, and also from the children to understand that this is not a game, this is not for entertainment, you are working. At the same time, you know, if the idea of work and learning can be made into fun, then, you know, you realize, like, for example, The Simpsons or South Park, if you take a critical look at it, you look back and say, well, actually, that I found that really entertaining, I laughed a lot. But I actually didn't realize that I learned a lot. They talked about, you know, political infrastructures. They talked about social infrastructures. They deconstructed a major social issue. And it's funny because they made jokes in there that now I realize actually are the same thing that the UN, emissary was saying or whatever. the ambassadors were saying, or the experts were saying. And this is, for me, the best way to learn is to have fun doing it. And the best way to teach is to not let people know you're teaching them.